What can economics tell us about the Ebola problem? First, it can answer the question as to why there has never been a vaccine manufactured for human consumption. Even though the virus was first isolated in 1976, and there have been a number of outbreaks of the disease since. Second, it can point ways to a policy action that can lead to the widespread availability of such a vaccine. The short answer to the first question is market failure. What does that mean? It means that businesses that derive income from the development and sale of pharmaceuticals will not willingly invest the resources necessary to bring such a vaccine to market. In the words of one expert, this is because Ebola is an unprofitable disease. Close to 10 years ago, researchers created a vaccine that was effective in protecting monkeys from the virus. That original research cost a few million dollars, but the human trials and the scaling up of production would cost closer to $1 billion or more. Still, given the dangers of Ebola, why didn't pharmaceutical companies do those clinical trials? That's because once you vaccinate someone for Ebola, that's the last time they will spend any money on your product. Compare that to insulin for diabetics or anti-cholesterol drugs for heart patients. Patients with diabetes or arteriosclerosis take a pill or an injection every day for the rest of their lives. Rapid growth in the demand for a new product is the chief incentive to spend the money developing it. Ebola is an unprofitable disease because the treatment is not something that the drug company can sell you every week, month, or even year. Once you get vaccinated, maybe it lasts for 5 to 10 years. And since most people are not at risk to catch Ebola, most people will not even bother to get vaccinated. Finally, the countries of the world where universal vaccination would be absolutely essential cannot afford to pay the high prices a drug company would charge after spending the money to develop the drug. So what's the solution? Well, governments could directly finance the clinical trials that had worked with the monkeys a decade ago, and they could then go on to promise to buy thousands of doses of the final product once the human trials have been successful. This would keep the pharmaceutical companies happy because they would be guaranteed a profit on their development and sales of a new drug. A much more efficient, less expensive way would be for the world's governments to chip in to cover the costs of the trial, then use their own facilities to manufacture massive quantities of the drug, making the vaccine available free of charge. I can hear the complaints now. Why should we spend $1 billion plus to help those countries in Africa? We've got enough problems here at home. I actually doubt most Americans would begrudge the people of the countries in Africa suffering from the largest outbreak of this disease in history, $1 billion, $2 billion, even $10 billion to control this epidemic. For comparative purposes, our country's defense budget, at least the public one, stands at over $600 billion. Arguably, containing the current outbreaks of Ebola are part of the defense of the United States, not against foreign invaders with missiles, but against the viruses that have already made their way into American citizens as a result of the current outbreak. I'm willing to bet that the basic generosity of the American people would support such an increase in spending. The lesson of the market failure that has led to the unconscionable delay in actually using the already discovered Ebola vaccination is that for some things, the private enterprise system fails miserably. Government may be an imperfect tool for correcting market failure, but it's the only thing we've got.